Hi, I'm Shannon Riley. I'm a professional organizer, ADHD coach, and therapeutic yoga teacher. And this is Beyond the Checklist, a podcast for neurodivergent folks who are tired of one-size-fits-all advice. Around here, we honor how your brain really works, whether we're talking about creating calmer spaces, building focus, or learning to rest. This is a place for practical tools, honest stories, and permission to do things differently. Let's make space for what matters in your home, in your time, and in yourself. Hello, and welcome back to Beyond the Checklist. So today we're going to dive into a topic I talk about all the time with clients and just people and humans. And honestly, one that's really misunderstood: clutter. If you've ever heard advice like, just throw out 20 things right now. Here's 20 things to toss right now. If this doesn't spark joy, get rid of it. Or my personal favorite, clutter is just delayed decisions. And you've probably already felt the shame spiral that can come with not being able to follow through on this advice. But here's the thing. For neurodivergent people, clutter is not a stuff problem. And we touched on this a little bit in the episode where I talked about the connection between clutter, burnout, and executive dysfunction. But it's often a nervous system problem. It's a decision fatigue problem. It's an emotional regulation problem. So today, I hope to break it down for you. That's my goal. All right. So let's start by naming a really big myth. Clutter is caused by laziness or a lack of discipline. That's the myth. It shows up all the time in organizing TV shows, in minimalism culture, in social media reels with neatly labeled bins and silent time lapses of someone cleaning their entire house in 30 seconds. Here's the thing. The most important thing. Clutter is context dependent. It doesn't just appear because you didn't try hard enough. It doesn't just appear because you're lazy or you're failing. It builds when your executive function is overloaded. Your emotional bandwidth is maxed out, or your space just doesn't match your real life. For neurodivergent people, that is norm. It is not the exception. That is the norm. So let's break down some of the most common contributors to clutter that honestly doesn't get talked about a lot. So the first one is task initiation challenges. You want to clean, but you don't know where to start. That is literally the most common reason that I hear when people talk to me or hire me, or even if we're just getting started for the day, they're like, I just don't know where to start. And that makes them stop. Decision fatigue. You've made so many choices, and now trying to go through something and make more decisions feels impossible. Emotional attachment. The things we have hold memories. They might hold a piece of our identity. And there might even be feelings of guilt. Rejection sensitivity. You're afraid that getting rid of something someone gave you, or that it's something you might need in the future. Oh, I have that because I might need it. Or, oh, so-and-so gave this to me, so I can't get rid of it. Or visual processing differences. Out of sight, out of mind. So everything stays out. Because then it's in sight, in mind. None of this means that you're broken. It just means that the system wasn't built for your brain. So the internet is an interesting place. And as someone who grew up without internet, without computers, and then they kind of came into play, and then social media started to become a thing a little bit when I was in college, not to the extent it is now. And I mean, no one had smartphones then, but now everything is in the palm of our hands, and social media is often just a main source of where people get their information. And there's a strange pressure to either be a minimalist or a maximalist. So minimalism often gets tied to morality. If you have fewer things, you're a better person. But maximalism could be seen as a rebellion against minimalism because it can be like, look at all my trinkets. This chaos is curated. I have curated my collection. And I'll actually use that phrase, curated, when I work with people because it can help you realize and determine the level of importance of the things that you have. You want to curate your collection. And you know what the truth is with those two viewpoints is that neither of those work if you are simply trying to survive. And we don't see that middle ground. We don't see the people who want less clutter but don't want to get rid of everything that they love. People who feel comforted by visual reminders, insight in mind, but still want clear space. And people who need both structure and softness, flexibility. Your home does not have to fit an aesthetic. It needs to feel like it fits you, your rhythm, your needs, your story, and anybody who shares the space with you. So there's a book called Stuff, Compulsive Hoarding and the Meaning of Things by Randy Frost and Gail Stechte. Definitely mispronounce that. Apologies. But they write that for people who struggle with clutter, objects are not just objects. They're extensions of identity, memory, and meaning. And that doesn't mean that we can't let things go, but it does mean that letting go often requires a lot more emotional work than we're told that it should. Over the years, I've worked with many people. So most of them have been neurodivergent, especially in the most recent years. Some are chronically disorganized. And here's what I can tell you from what I see. The clutter is rarely, if ever, the issue, the main issue. It's just the visible outcome of everything that's going on. So there can be a dining room table that is just buried in papers, bags, unopened mail. And it creates this feeling of overwhelm. It creates this feeling of, oh, I'm lazy. I should just be able to do this. I don't know why I can't do this. But what the truth is, for most people, is that maybe it's their job that has a constant mental switching, which burned out their executive function. So they're constantly having to switch gears in the work that they do. Maybe they were supporting a loved one through medical care. Maybe they had internalized years of being called messy or difficult. And the dining room table, it was not clutter. It was just a map of everything they couldn't hold anymore. So coming to that awareness and realizing the things that are going on around you, it helps your perspective shift. Because it's not about forcing yourself to declutter. It's about trying your best to reduce the shame and invite in more capacity to actually manage the stuff and do something with it. So if traditional advice doesn't work, what the heck does? Here are a few things. Body first decluttering. So before you try and make decisions, regulate your nervous system. Breathe, ground, drink water. You cannot declutter when your body is in a shutdown or survival mode. I'll say to people to not ever declutter when you're at a heightened emotion. So if you are feeling really angry, if you're feeling really sad, if you're feeling just upset in general, that is not at all the time to start decluttering. Because I promise you, you're going to get rid of things that you don't actually want to get rid of. You want to have that nervous system regulation and not like you're in this feeling of survival. It might mean that it's harder to make decisions, but that's okay. Because it ensures that you're keeping the things that matter and you're getting rid of the things that you're okay to let go of. When we're in a really heightened emotional state, we're going to start getting rid of things that we're not ready to let go of or our emotions are just overriding our ability to make clear, conscious decisions. So label what is happening, not just what's there. So instead of saying something like, this room is a mess, try, this room is holding things I haven't had capacity to process. Reframe. So a good example of this is a room of bins or a room of stuff that were a parent's. And that parent has passed away and you inherited a lot of their stuff, but you haven't had a chance to go through it yet. The room isn't a mess. You're just not in the point right now where you have the capacity to process whatever is going to come up when you start opening those bins. Work in micro rounds, in small spurts. Set a timer for 10 minutes. Do 10 minutes. If you're feeling really good, do another 10 minutes. Do one drawer. One shelf. If you're feeling good, you could do one category like books, leggings. But sometimes that can also get overwhelming. So I even think just one drawer or one shelf is an amazing place to start. You can always use a timer or a buddy. So accountability is really helpful. So maybe that person is with you, or maybe that person is on the other side of the phone and you're having a conversation. I know sometimes, I'm sure other people experience this. If I'm on the phone in my apartment, I start cleaning or doing something because I need to be doing something while I'm having the conversation for whatever reason. That's what my brain and body is telling me to do. So that's also a good option to like get the thing done that you don't want to do. Be like, hey, I haven't talked to you in a minute. I want to catch up, but I also have to clean out this bin that's been sitting in my living room for a month. Let me know when you can hop on a call, and then I'm going to work on this while we chat. And that's something that's called body doubling, which is simply me being there, helping them stay on track, helps get the thing done that they don't want to do. You can also create a holding zone. So maybe you're not sure if you're ready to let something go. Create a box or bin for maybe. And I want you to be careful about letting everything end up in this space and really try to your best to limit how much you put in there. But there are some things that are harder to make a decision about or others. I was working with a client recently and we were finding things that they forgot that they had, which is normal. It happens all the time. But we very much were like, okay, let's put it in a place that's now accessible to you. And then she had said, okay, if I don't use this in the next 6 months, then I'll donate it. And those statements are always easier said than done, but I do think it's really helpful. And you can even put a note on it, right? Like if you end up putting it away so it's out of sight, put a label on it. Hey, in here I have XYZ. You could put a date on it, like, oh, put a date 6 months from now. Or you can like put a reminder on your calendar, revisit it. And you don't have to decide everything right now because decision fatigue is real and some things are harder to make decisions about than others. Let go of aesthetic pressure. Your systems do not have to be pretty. They do not have to look like they might look on Instagram. They just have to work. A shoebox with a label is often going to do you better than buying a $1,000, $300, $200 organizing system. Just use what you have. And finally, make it yours. You do not have to get anyone's permission, unless the thing is theirs, to keep what matters or to release what doesn't. Move at your own pace. Take breaks. Start small. Acknowledge the challenges that you're experiencing and figure out what works for you. So I'm going to leave you with this. Clutter is information, not a moral failing. It tells us something about what we've survived, what we're carrying, and what we might need to feel more supported. If today's episode gave you a new way to think about your space or yourself, I hope that you'll take that into your week. And maybe you'll look at your clutter with a little bit more curiosity, a little bit more kindness. Maybe you'll try just one small action, just a drawer, just a corner, just a breath. And most importantly, remember that your worth is not measured by how tidy your home is. If this resonated with you, I would love for you to share the episode or tag me in a post about your experience. You can also find more free resources on my website. Next time, we'll talk about time and how the real problem usually isn't time at all, but the systems we're expected to function with. I cannot wait to dig in. Thank you so much for being here, and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Beyond the Checklist. If something from today's episode resonated with you, I would love for you to share it, subscribe, or leave a review. It helps more people find the support they deserve. Take what you need, leave what you don't, and remember, you're doing the best you can, and that's enough. Until next time, keep making space for what matters in your home, your time, and yourself.